The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
I'm on the road, a brand new hour of material, and we just added Syracuse for the end of February. In March, you can catch me in Seattle, Vancouver. I am making up the Harrisburg date now in Allentown, also Tampa, Florida. And then in April, I'm going to be in New Jersey, Los Angeles, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Wait, no. April, New Jersey. Forget it. And that's it. Figure it out, stupid.
Jim Norton can save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
Thanks, Tim. I'm really happy you're here.
Thanks for having me.
If I have to introduce Tim Dillon, you're an idiot, and you haven't been looking at anything in the last three or 4 years.
I don't know about that, but... thank you.
Yeah, no, they are. Trust me, I'll say it for you. They're fucking idiots. They don't know who you are. It's
a lot of Asians don't.
Really?
Yeah, that's just one of
lying.
I haven't done the work in that community.
I think they're lying though. I think they know who you are and they don't want to admit they know who you are.
Yeah, well,
to humble you.
Sure.
They don't like your.
He was humbled in the Grand Central Oyster Bar by families of Asians.
Just ignoring
every
him.
Day. Good.
Is that where you worked?
No, I go there sometimes.
Oh,
fun.
Okay.
It's good to have seafood in a train station.
Yeah.
You know?
I would trust it in Grand Central.
It's fine.
One
influencer died, she ate an oyster, and she died, and that sucks.
There?
No, she just ate an oyster, and her boyfriend were like these travel people or whatever, food people. She ate an oyster, and it was just the end, but that's rare.
Was it the oyster, or did she have something else going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's super sad, but...
yeah, they said it's an oyster.
It got a thing, and the oyster got her, and that sucks.
Would that dissuade you from eating oysters?
A little.
Yeah.
A little bit. Sometimes I think I shouldn't.
But is that your like guilty pleasure? You like a good salty oyster?
No, I don't even like them that much. Sometimes it would be a good, funny way to die.
It would. I mean, it's a tragedy, but I mean, on some level, he probably is like, there is something funny about she eats one oyster.
Yeah, I think he just goes, all right, we move on.
Yeah, find someone else.
Move on.
Find someone who's not allergic to seafood, maybe.
That's right.
Call in if you want to talk to Tim. The number is 720-820-1337. Is that correct? I always forget the number. Did you have a house burn in L.A.? Is that true? Or
No, I didn't. Okay. But I do think I'm entitled to some... compensation regardless.
Sure.
Because I don't think it's about the physical structure burning. I think it's about it's a vibe and it's a of the city that suffered, and it's a figure of speech. I have petitioned to get money from it.
Because honestly,
I think I should get money.
I don't disagree, because the potential to burn was there, and you've had to suffer with the potential for it to burn.
It's actually, to be honest with you, I feel like there's a lot of undeserving people whose homes burned down. I just would have been one of them. I would have been another piece of shit whose home burned down.
Sure.
Now, there's a lot of good people whose homes burned down in Altadena. But let's now focus on the Pacific Palisades. And let's be very honest. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that it's just not...
You're saying that everyone whose home burned down, we don't have to feel sad? Like, no one is talking about the fact that there are some probably shitty
people. Well, there were two fires. There was one fire in Altadena, which was really sad because it affected like working class people and whatever.
Yeah.
And there was another fire in the Pacific Palisades called God's Divine Justice. That's the name of the, there was the Eaton Fire, and then there was God's Divine Justice, which was the name of the fire in the Palisades. I mean, listen, I you know, I feel bad to an extent for the people in Palisades, but you know.
Yeah. They have different. Money. They have
it
money.
It feels different.
Now, do you know anybody who had a house burned?
My manager's house didn't burn, but I know some people. An agent of mine house burned down, and I feel bad, but like they'll be okay.
Yeah.
These guys are going to be okay.
Are you good at giving like condolences? Like, are you that guy? You don't seem like you're very good at calling.
Not really. I didn't call up, and I would have said I'm sorry if I bump into him or something. I'll go, really sucks, yeah. And I'm sorry, but they'll be okay.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
They'll be okay.
You hope.
You hope.
Are you insured? I heard they took all the fire insurance.
I'm insured, but it's all fake anyway, because like I think that a lot of that insurance will just try to get out of a lot of stuff.
Yes.
They try to dodge.
Yeah, they really do. That's why everybody hates them. That's why
I sold my house there last year, so it's even worse. I don't even own a house there.
You sold last year.
I sold last year. But Jim, I don't think that discounts the tremendous struggle.
No.
I'm still in a rough struggle.
Not only does it not discount it, I think it bolsters your case.
It might.
Because if you still had the house and it didn't burn, you would have gotten a lot more money for it now because there's less houses.
It's almost like I sold it and I still feel deeply rooted in the community.
Sure.
Not in any financial way.
Just as a
or
part
a
of
social
it.
Way or even a cultural way. But I don't even like the city that much, to be honest. But I still feel, because I've spent time there, that I'm owed something.
I
just don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is or how much, but you know that there is a bill going to be submitted.
Dude, you know what sucks is like, this is why they hate LA. The People magazine goes, celebrities who have lost their homes. What are we doing?
Yeah.
People don't want to hear that.
Yeah, there's so many people. Celebrities are people, but we don't need to see a different catalog or category
it's
of celebrities.
It's just a weird thing. I'm sorry that Haley Joel Osment or Tyra Banks lost their home.
Yeah.
And then you go down the list of celebrities who did need it. Like, you do find those where they're really scratching for celebrity, and then you go, oh, yeah, I feel bad for you.
Tyra Banks, you figure, has money, but Haley Joel probably hasn't worked a whole lot.
Yeah, no, him, you go, oh, that does suck, man.
Yeah, that's
that
a rough
does
one.
Suck. Sorry about that.
And if anybody needs advice, are you? What do you think? Are you a good advice giver or no?
Probably not.
No,
but
that's good.
I'll try.
Sure.
I'll try.
Do
I don't think it's the best advice.
No, it doesn't have to be.
What kind of advice can you give if the majority of your life you were a closeted gay cocaine addict who enthusiastically supported the Iraq war?
You know
what I mean? Like, I don't know that I'm an oracle for people. I've lived kind of a terrible, I've done I've been wrong about most things.
No, I mean, look, there's a lot of closeted gay men who do cocaine, and some probably still support the Iraq war.
Yeah, by the way, most. I think most, probably.
Do you have closeted guys reaching out to you at all or no?
There's different. I've gotten messages from certain people that I've had some positive effect and then negative effect. And then there's people that reach out to every now and then they hang out or something. But for the most part, it's people are nice when they reach out. They go, oh, it's nice to see somebody who doesn't fall in line with all the stuff that a lot of gay people are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they love you. We are a complete group of people. It's not just.
Yeah. It's good. A lot of them are it's good to see someone who is gay and racist.
Yeah.
Fear mongering.
Sure.
It's important, to be honest.
I think
there's there's a lot more people out there that are kind of fear mongering racist than you'd think.
But
they feel weird about it.
Are you saying homosexuals haven't gotten the credit that they deserve because they are also really good at being racist?
Yeah, I think they're just, I think for the last however many years, people were all like, I'm great. I'm the best person ever. Or I'm, and then it's refreshing to have someone go, well, I don't think I'm the best person ever.
And have you got, I noticed when I started to do well in the business, as the years built up, I got a better class of people reaching out, a more attractive class of people. I had better options.
Yeah.
Sexually. Have you found that you have much better options now?
Yeah, because I have money, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it too, is, that you have a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So people just, you could do cooler shit with people. So there's probably, there's something to be said about that. Yeah.
Do you care? I never cared. If you're in a relationship, but if someone was just kind of reaching out because they know me from this or that, I was like, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I don't care.
You don't give a shit.
I don't care.
You in love right now or no?
I'm not in love, no. I don't think I am. No, I'll go with no.
Okay.
No, I'm not in love. I imagine I'm not in love at the moment.
Do you want to get married?
I don't know. It's one of those things you think about and you go, I don't know. I see a lot of it that's gone really well for people and other... and others that are not as happy.
I wouldn't have done it if I didn't have to because of the 90-day fiance thing.
I sure. And that's maybe my track as well. It'll be some diplomatic reason. did I get married? I imagine it'll involve some type of immigration court if I get married.
Yes.
Some Peruvian. Yeah, you know what I
an
mean?
An eager lad from a...
Yeah, some Peruvian in a MAGA hat. Peruvian twink in a MAGA hat, just getting his citizenship. I imagine that my wedding will look something like that. To guess, I could be wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong.
No, well, what's wrong with that, though? I mean, a Peruvian in a MAGA hat, if that's what you like, then that's the perfect scenario for you.
Sure. That's America. That's America right now.
It sure is.
Peruvian in a MAGA hat.
Was that photo real, that guy being taken away in the fucking Trump shirt, or was that like me?
I don't know. I mean, it's everything could be real now. I don't know.
You can't.
It's really crazy.
I bought an app for the phone, which you can kind of, it helps you like speak different languages.
Yeah.
It's still obviously AI.
Sure.
But it's in a year from now, 2 years from now, it won't look like AI.
There's going to be a lot of illegal immigrants in Trump gear.
Yeah.
Being taken out for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure
that
they will.
Seems to be what'll happen.
There was one guy walking away, said, I voted for Trump. But maybe it was a bullshit, or it might have just been. You saw it, right? It might have just been made up. If anybody's calling and wants to talk to Tim, I'm sure that there's people who would love to talk to Tim Dillon. Hello, you're on the phone, sir.
I am?
Yes, you are. What's your name?
Hey, what's up? Hey, Jim. Hey, Tim. What's up?
Hi, sir.
What's up, guys?
I need advice on this issue. Okay. When do I know I have a problem with alcoholism? Like, I don't drink too much, but when I do... Like, I don't drink too often, but when I do, I kind of go overboard every time. And most recently, I shit my pants drunk. So is that, do I just stop now? Or what do you think I should stop now?
Not if you shit your pants. I think that's great. I mean, who doesn't want to hang out with a guy that might shit his pants?
Yeah, I think you're in the very middle of the road here at the shitting of the pants. I think there's a lot more runway you have here to just kind of experiment and just see how alcohol fits into your lifestyle.
I think an important question, too, was there blood in it? Because if there's no blood in it, I think you're right. Fine. There's a lot of time left.
There was no blood, but do I have a few more times where I can shit my pants, or is...
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Do I have it's the first time, yeah. When you're in double digits, you might want to call somebody. But then maybe not.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, sir. We wish you Godspeed and good luck. And hopefully callers can just jump out and start talking. They're all kind of a little panicky. Your name would be, sir. Hello.
Craig.
Hi, Craig. What's up?
So I have a problem with drinking. And I'm trying to find a solution. Tried weaning myself off, but it ain't working. What do you got, Jim?
Well, I mean, I'm sober, so I would always suggest either going to a rehab or doing something, go to a 12-step meeting. Are you sober, Tim, or you just don't
sober,
do cocaine? Oh,
sober.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I did it for a while?
Yeah, 14 years.
Oh, okay. 14, people kind of come and they want to know what to do. What do you suggest when someone is, a meeting, or do you rehab? What do you think?
I don't know the specifics of the situation. I would say maybe check out a meeting. You know, I wouldn't go right into rehab.
I've done a meeting.
You've done a meeting.
Oh, okay.
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 And they didn't.
I did a year sober about 4 years ago, and I made the mistake of jumping back on the train.
Right.
All right. Well, then you know the answer. You got to get back off the train. You know the answer.
Yeah. You're right.
Sorry, sir. Thanks.
Well, thanks, guys.
Okay. Two for two so far.
This is a very uplifting program.
Honestly.
It's a very uplifting show. I didn't realize how uplifting it was. I didn't realize when I came, it was like a feel-good show. I didn't realize that. But I didn't realize it was just going to be legions of suicidal alcoholics calling in. But all right.
Well, that is my fan base.
Yeah. No, I get it. There's nothing wrong with it. Go to a meeting or stop, you know, cut it out.
Just stop doing it.
It's hard. You got to go to a meeting.
What made you want to stop?
I was 25, and I was like, you get to a certain age where you go, you look at the rest of your life and you go, I got to either be a loser for the rest of my life or I got to just cut it out. Yeah. So I went to a meeting, I did the whole thing. It's like, but I just got to an age, you go, you got to just stop.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But there was no like fucking fatal, like, you know, I drove a car into a
schoolyard.
No,
I was in
over.
Two boating accidents with my friend's father. I owned a house when I was 22 years old. And I had no money to pay the mortgage. I was It's crazy debt. I lost that hat. Like, it was bad. You know, I was like a psychopath.
So wait, you were driving a boat twice? You crashed?
No. He was, but he was a fun guy, and so he was just fun to hang out with me. His kids were like, "Don't go on the boat with him. He's like, it's too fucked up." And I'm like, "All right, whatever." And then I went on, and then on the second boating accident, I go, "This is really not great."
Yeah, if someone crashes two boats.
It's the second boating. He also had a biwi. He had a boating while intoxicated, which is a very rare. And he had three diwis. He had three diwis and a biwi.
What's he doing now?
He's dead.
He is dead now. How did he die?
I believe it was a heroin overdose, but it was kind of also suicide.
Oh, you think he did it on purpose?
It was one of those. He left a note. It was kind of a dick note for his family. Again, though, I got to be honest with you. He's still, to me, very fun. Fun person.
You miss him.
Very much so. And I think he's fun. But yeah, he did. It was tough. He did kind of leave a note. And it was kind of
did
shitty.
He blame them?
Oh, I believe so. I believe it was one of those, like, I'm in pain. I got to go. But let's be honest, none of you really did much for me.
None of you really helped.
Yeah, it was one of those. But, you know, I think it's kind of like they take it with a grain of salt. When someone's an addict, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone's an addict, a suicide note, it's a grain of salt. You just go, yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah, okay. You, what are you on about again? Like, you just, you know.
Yeah, it's probably, it's part of my fault.
You don't give it the weight that you would give to, like, a sober person.
Right.
Just a guy at the end who's not happy.
Do you get depression or no?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I get a lot of it.
Yeah,
sucks.
I think so. I get anxiety, too, if I eat good.
Really?
If I cut out sugar, I get it. It's terrible. It's a very stupid thing.
It's a fucking brutal one.
I just got to get over that hump because I have anxiety. If I don't eat any sugar, if I eat like really clean, I just start to get anxiety. I don't know why. My body's so not used to. That's why I'm really excited about RFK to just help me. I want him to just help me and ban all this food. And
you think he will?
He's going to try. He really wants people to be healthier.
Why is his family fucking lining up against him?
Well, you know, there's certainly beef in the clan,
sure.
In that crew. They don't love him. I don't think he's been perfect.
No.
He's probably not been perfect. And there's some things. He had a heroin problem.
He did.
So when you're on heroin, you tend to act maybe not in the best way.
So you think there might be some things that we don't know about, you know, that happened.
There's dynamics there, probably. They're not thrilled with him, but I think a lot of what he says is really good about the food and stuff, but you know, they also disagree with him on stuff. I think people have disagreements with him about things, you know.
The whole bear, the dead animal thing, I think people are a little fucking annoyed about that.
There's that stuff. I think he said, you know, I think he might have said like the, you know, like Keurig coffee machines give you AIDS or something. I don't know. He's all over. But he's right about a lot of stuff, you know. Dunkaroos and shit. Why are kids eating that? But then he goes, you know, COVID maybe didn't affect Jews.
That's the Sephardic Jews. Yeah.
I don't know. But people shouldn't eat Fun Dip.
He said Sephardic.
You put the stick in the thing.
That's Sephardic Jews and someone else. He said
blacks.
Blacks?
Yeah.
They weren't affected.
Not the best. Again, but you don't know. But he was quoting a study from the NIH.
Yeah.
Confirm him.
Yeah.
Get him in there. Let's see what happens. I think he might help.
You think?
Well, they got to ban some of this bad shit, like the processed shit.
Well, I'm weak. So, like, I know what you're saying. You're like, just get rid of it so I don't fucking eat it. I would rather not have it available.
I can't have the choice. Don't give me the choice. Fascism with the food.
Yeah.
Just clean food. You go to Europe and shit, you can't get bullshit like we have.
How long does it take you to start getting all fucked up when you're not eating sugar?
It'll take a few days. Like a few days, I'll feel really hot, and then I'll just feel very depressed and anxious. And then you eat bad shit or sugar, or whatever. You just gotta get over that hump. There's a hump. I don't know what it is. A couple of weeks or whatever. But like, it's so in you, this drug stuff. You know, just that thing of like sugar or just bad food, white bread. You know,
I know
eating white bread, a bagel, and you know, I'll have insomnia if I don't eat that stuff. But it's not good.
I forgot to do this in the beginning. I love ChatGPT. I've become a bit obsessed with.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm a big roaster, Tim, as you know.
Yeah.
What I do is I get ChatGPT to write a couple of roasters. These are very, very rough. So I'll give you one and you tell me if you can handle the next one.
Yeah.
All right. These are very funny.
I can handle them all.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Tim
Dillon. Unless you're about RFK. I won't tolerate that.
No,
they're
really
about me. They're fine.
Yes.
Okay.
I also don't like to look at that. I also don't want a guy in government who just puts up videos like this. I don't dislike him. But that's
I get it.
That's kind of douchey. It's like Tom Cruise in the beginning of fucking, remember Born on the 4th of July when he was a kid? He does push-ups in front of the girl. Yeah. It's like a fucking childish, stupid asshole thing.
I feel you.
To see your fucking abs. Tim Dillon's Twitter feed is basically the internet version of I told you so, but with more yelling and fewer facts.
I would agree.
I mean,
I think that's pretty accurate.
It's a great joke.
That's pretty accurate.
Let's see. Tim Dillon might be the only guy who could take a regular conversation about pizza and somehow make it sound like an existential crisis.
I agree as well.
I mean, these
that's
are
good.
We'll do one more of these really harsh roast jokes. Tim Dillon's podcast is like a roller coaster, except the roller coaster has no brakes. And halfway through it, you're questioning every decision you've ever made.
They're amazing, but I still got to go with Morgan Murphy's or Bonnie McFarlane or both of them. I forget. Please welcome Tim Dillon. And this is what this is. If Steve Bannon drove a Lyft.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I thought that was great, but thank you. I like those as well.
I mean, are they? It's crazy to me how much like they can miss being funny. Like, you know what I mean? They're terrible.
It's an art form I'm not good at. I'm not good at roasting. So when I watch you guys, Nikki and Jeff, it's great because like that kind of sharp. I'm not good at it.
No, neither is ChatGPT.
I'm just not good at the sharp, you know, like word economy.
Well, yeah, I mean, and sometimes you have to land on something, but these are fucking awful.
But it's they're not. But what's interesting is it's like a machine doing it.
Yes.
So like you got to think like what's that in a few years?
Yeah,
that's the thing with AI is like now it's not great, but what is it eventually?
Yeah, what's it going to be in 5 years? I still don't think it'll be
that AI that they're using for just movies now. Sora. Now they have this Chinese DeepSeek or whatever. It's so good. The way that it simulates places, it's going to eliminate like, you know, on location filming
for
a lot of people and sets and all of that.
What did it do that it fucked up the stock market though? Because I know that I was
because
like,
the DeepSeek came out and that's the Chinese AI, and then I think people in our tech sector, you know, investors started to go, we may not be leading this, and NVIDIA got pummeled and a bunch of these companies got pummeled because they're like, hey, China may come out and just have the top, you know, they may have the top AI company in the world and all of ours might be shit.
Does this shit scare you?
Not really, because there's so little you can do about it.
Right.
And there, I think that it's coming, and it's coming in a way that, you know, is going to be destabilizing. And there's the world in 20 years, I think, is going to look a lot different. And then also this weirdly the same. Because you're going to have like all of the problems we have now will probably still be present.
Yeah.
That, you know, but things are going to be very different, like in terms of the tech space.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it either. Like, there's a part of me that's like everything is going to change. And I'm like, I just don't care. Maybe because I'm in my 50s. I just don't give a fuck. Like,
they said they said like somebody used an example of like down the road, you'll just go in and talk to an Alexa and go, I want to watch a movie that's a murder mystery set in a ski resort town, and they'll just do it. And you'll just sit on your couch and watch whatever they... I don't know if that's true or how close that is to happening, but...
Starring Robert De Niro as...
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They said that pretty soon there'll be movies where you will put your face, you'll superimpose, you'll be a character in the movie. I don't know. This is what they say in articles I read.
I mean, maybe not now, but again, 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
Did you hear what was it? Sean Penn said, like somebody said that they wanted to use him in movies, and he goes, picture... Okay, how about this? picture like something about your put your daughter in AI having sex with two people.
Right.
And see how you feel about that.
Right.
That's how I feel about you doing that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, so there was an interesting pushback.
Well, there's a lot of
it.
People in Hollywood that go, that we feel great about that, actually. And my daughter is up for that. We have no problem with that. There's a lot of executives like, can you use another example? I have zero problem doing that. Whatever makes people happy. I don't know anymore. There's nothing to be done. You know, it's just coming.
I guess so. Resistance is kind of stupid.
What are you going to do? Are you going to fight the AI people?
No.
Can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Can't.
Now, is there anybody else that might like it? And somebody who's...
Is there another drunk?
Yeah, is there another person there who's another on guy? A ledge with a pistol in their mouth that we can do nothing for?
Another guy? Another guy who's...
Hello, you're on the phone.
Happy birthday, Jimmy.
Thank you, fella, very much. What's going on?
All right. So my question's for Tim.
Yeah.
So since you are the pristine American male and the perfect example of an American male.
Agreed.
What advice would you give to me as a Canadian man when your country inevitably makes us the 51st state? Like, how do I become a better American man?
It's a great question.
Great question.
I think getting into wrestling, you know, watching wrestling is big. I think, you know, that seems to be huge. I like to see adult men get really excited about the WWE.
Sure.
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's a big part of kind of reclaiming your... It's about reclaiming your adolescence more than your masculinity. It's
that's
about
a great
reclaiming
point.
Your adolescence. Whatever you were as a teenager, lean into that. Go back to that and try to be a, you know, get into surfing or skateboarding or something absurd, something very stupid at your age. I don't know how old are you?
I'm 29.
Yes, right. So that's be ridiculous. Just do ridiculous things. Start doing all kinds of stuff at 29.
That's a great point. Being like a real man or whatever is reclaiming what you liked in adolescence.
That's
that really
right.
is what it is.
That's what it is. You just got to reclaim what you liked in adolescence.
Do you buy shit? Like, I find myself buying all these fucking posters, all this nonsense.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if everyone you liked in it was too. Like, if that, because that's, by the way, every single thing in the, you know, you can't watch a documentary about anything you ever liked. Because it's people are like, oh, I was kept in a cage. It's like, you know what? The show was good.
Yeah.
Let's stop revisiting every problem. Not every director is perfect. So it's about that. It's about ignoring some of it and just going that, you know, Diddy was not ideal, but he did. He was part of the hip hop in my childhood.
Sure. So you can still enjoy him and root for him.
Got to enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let that throw you. If there's like, I still enjoy Cosby's old material.
The healthcare CEO, if you can. That's something that people seem to like.
It did focus everybody, didn't it?
It did, yeah. People like that. People like it because so little happened. That's the other thing. There's so much bitching and moaning and talking in America, but so little actually happens.
Right.
So when something happens that's an act that just isn't talking, people get very wrapped up in it and excited because most of it is just chatter.
Especially when it's a guy who it's really hard to root for. Like, I don't know what he was like, but his job title is really hard to root for.
It's hard to root for that guy.
Yeah.
It's hard to root for him.
He might have been a nice guy. I don't know.
He was probably as nice as you can be for that.
For that.
And he his death was, it kind of made people go, whoa, stuff happens. I think people feel like they're watching a movie and then something happens. They go, whoa. Just like a fun turn.
So he's a nice guy for that. Like, mean, like, he's probably good to his wife and kids. A fun guy to talk to.
No, not really. His wife is very non-plot. Like, his wife didn't seem to care. Like, his wife did just hear. His wife was kind of like, oh, you win some, you lose some. I've never heard of a more casual reaction to somebody getting shot in the back in my life. That woman cared less. I've cared more about the Dunkin' Donuts on my block being closed than that woman cared about her husband taking a bullet through the spine. She didn't care at all. She doesn't care.
You don't think she was devastated?
By the way, it's such a relief when your husband gets murdered or your wife gets murdered. What a relief. It's such a relief, especially if you're rich. It's a big relief. You can go have another life.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, you can go have another fucking life, and no one blames you, and everyone feels bad for you. It's the best case scenario if you're a rich person.
That's right.
That your husband or wife gets violently murdered, and you can just go on about your life.
Oh, God, that is so true.
It's really the case. Look at her. Is that woman? That's right after he got shot, probably. They're probably saying that's a before picture, but that's, she doesn't care.
It's a great break. You're absolutely right.
To get to that level in any business, you can't love your wife more than denying people cancer treatment. You have to love the game. He loved the game. He died doing what he loved. He loved the game. Outside of a New York hotel, getting ready to rev up a bunch of people to just tell 4-year-olds with brain tumors to walk it off. That's what got him hard every day. His wife was whatever. He wanted to be, he was the head of the biggest healthcare company in the world or in America, whatever, the world probably. So what got him going was the game. He didn't care about her. Every time she would go on and on about the lake house she wanted to buy, he said, we have to, you don't understand, I have to eliminate a whole division tomorrow in order to stay profitable in the third quarter. Will you? And she goes, but you know, we could get something in the lake. You don't have to work as much. And he goes, no, you don't understand. I don't care about you or the kids. That doesn't get me out of bed. I'm doing it because it's something to do. What gets me out of bed in the morning is hearing how many people I've denied and how much money that equates to.
Right.
That's what you got to be into.
Oh, God. When you're rich, the best thing that can happen to you is your partner.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny, man. And it's also, you're right. Everyone feels bad for you. And you can move on and find the person that you'd really like to be. And nobody will begrudge you.
And by the way, you win on both sides. Because if you bump into, she could do anything. Because she could, rich people will go up to her and go, this is so terrible. And she goes, I know. And then she could also become a weird folk hero by going, of course, Brian's death is tragic. However, there's a lot of pain in this country. Now I'm thinking, is a book coming? Does she run for Senate? This could be big. Big. Like the Gilgo Beach killer. His kids were like whining. Oh, my dad killed. If you can't spin that into gold, you idiot.
Yeah.
You were a Long Island bum. You were a nothing. Your father's a serial killer.
Yeah.
Book, movie, Netflix, boom.
That's right. It really is a meal ticket you don't even recognize.
It's the best thing that can happen to you is that your husband or wife is killed violently if you're rich. And the second best thing is that they are a serial killer. And you can then go out and say, I was married to the stranger in my bed. Whatever. They come up with a good title.
Sure.
You win. You win all around. The worst thing that could happen is you slowly fall out of love with someone who's still alive. Then what the hell do you do? What exactly do you do? If you just every breakfast you care about them a little less and they're still here, what do you do? There's nothing really to do. It's a messy uncoupling and a procedure and a divorce and a whole thing. But if they're arrested, if the FBI drags them out of the house for killing a bunch of hookers, your life just got so much better. Because it's exciting and life's boring. That's the other thing nobody tells you. Life kind of gets boring, especially in Long Island, Massapequa, Long Island. You're somewhere. That's the biggest high she ever got. My husband's a murderer. Oh, my God, this is crazy. My life has purpose now.
Going over all those little moments and things she can talk about that no one knows. Yeah.
Yes. I just think it's such a great thing for everyone involved.
Yeah, I guess I never thought of it that way.
It really is.
You're a great thinker, and you're right.
It really is. And by the way, look at these lugs. Are you telling me these people, look at these, what were they going to do with a regular non-murderer father? I'm interested in all of them now. These are people who you'd hit with a car and wouldn't think twice about. I'm interested in everything they have to say now. They were the least interesting people in the world until their father was killing people on a beach at 4 a.m. Now you become interesting. Immediately, a wand has been waved and your lives have meaning and purpose because your father was kind enough to kill a bunch of people and get caught.
Because you want to now hear what they have to say, whereas before.
Before they were zero, there was nothing that they could ever do that would look at this.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you know how cool they are now? The Gilgo Beach kids.
Their photos do not make them look like they were inspired young people. You're not wrong.
I mean, I want to invite them. I do a party every year out in the Hamptons at the end of the summer. I want to get their info and invite them and have them speak. And have them speak. And I'll pay them a decent amount of money. I go, you know, it's been a few years, you know, but we have speakers here that will speak. Their father is the Gilgo Beach guy. And then everyone will kind of clap. And then they'll get up and go, yeah, this has been hard. It's been. But I go, how interesting is this? And
sure.
Then we'll do a little fun. We'll have a little fun with it. You know what I mean? It's not going to be somber.
Right.
We're going to have a little fun with it. But I'd like to do like a live podcast with both of them at the Hamptons event where we're all eating lobster rolls and talking about their father.
Do you think, though, that they would be duds as even talking about something so interesting?
They will be duds for sure. But, you know, you have to kind of prep them. You got to work with them first. You got to go, you know, you got to talk to them and go, listen, you got to make this interesting for people. Cause it is interesting. Suburban guy who just goes, he's murdering hookers and then gets caught because he's at bars and he won't shut up about it.
Was he talking about it?
Yeah, he's like, well, you know, what's interesting about these cases, if I'd done it, this is how the guy probably got away with it. It's the most boomer way to get caught about anything. He's sitting there and he goes, someone needs to know how meticulously this guy did this and got away with it. And then he got caught because he wouldn't shut his mouth. It's the most Long Island way to get caught. The guy wasn't caught. He was going to get away with it. But he couldn't shut his fat mouth. And it's, by the way, I would have done the same thing. Had I killed a bunch of people and I was sitting in a bar and I couldn't talk about it, it would haunt me.
It would be very frustrating, especially when other people think they have great things going on or impressive things going on.
Yeah.
You know you've murdered.
So it would be interesting to see like what their what it's like to have a dad like that. Do they still love him?
Right.
Is it interesting? Like, have they visited him? What explanation did he give? How differently are they being treated? Will there be a sandwich named after him at the local deli? I would suggest there should be. You know what I mean?
The Rex or the Howerman? They go with the first or last name. Yeah. What's the last name? Herman.
Yeah.
Herman. Would you go with the I think the Rex has a nice sound to it.
I think you call it the Beach Body. I think you do the Beach Body. I think you do, and I think you do grilled chicken, guacamole, pepper jack cheese on a ciabatta.
Also, like maybe a little pink sea salt to kind of simulate sand.
Yeah.
So it's got that little crunch to it.
But that's the thing, because we can't change what happened. So I think these kids now, of course, they're probably upset about this, but there should be a Netflix thing. I'd watch this shit out of this doc.
Yeah. His family.
Oh, they're earning a million for a documentary on him. And by the way, they should have gotten more. They should have gotten more. So now they're millionaires, by the way. Now they're millionaires. This is my point. These lugs, okay? They're now millionaires. They're overnight, they are a millionaire. These people never would have had $1 million in their life. Now people go, well, money doesn't matter. Shut up.
It does.
They're millionaires because of this. And they'll get more.
You think they'll do a second documentary or something else?
I think there's a book. I think there's a documentary. And I believe that there is a scripted series about this.
Do you think on any level they had any idea, or was this a complete shock?
Can't know. I don't know. But in the scripted series, they have an inclination, and a black female British profiler gets him.
Yes, like in the Dahmer series.
Yes,
the Glenda or whatever name character who literally lived in the building, the next building.
Niecy Nash, brilliant. She did a great job.
Even though that character was a complete like amalgamation of a couple of people, never happened.
Yeah, of course not, but that's fine. We need that here too.
Yeah, so there'd be a black British.
Does your father lock? It's a black girl who's like, does your father lock the beach? You know what I mean? And there's like a moment there. So we got to do that. It's fine. It's fun. It's all fun and games. You know, they got $1 million. Is more coming. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. And what a great point, too, about we don't realize that, like, they don't tell you that life is boring. Like, life is fucking boring, and then something like this happens. It just kind of shakes everything up and makes you
feel
good.
Well, interesting life. You have a very interesting life, and it's actually, it's turned in a very interesting direction, and you're going to have a lot of money now, and sorry, but that's actually probably a net positive.
Every mundane shit moment with your father, every boring where he did he went out at 2 a.m. for fucking cigarettes, is now a big part of the story. It's interesting.
I think it's actually a net positive that it happened. And I think that wife of the healthcare CEO feels the exact same way.
She didn't seem grief stricken to you?
Not at all. And she gets to collect all this money, and, you know, she gets to really now speak out. I think she's, you know, somebody interesting like her, she could really speak out.
Now, have you ever been with somebody, like, not that you wanted to kill, but have you ever been with somebody, like, where if they were killed, it would have been a great exit to the relationship?
Well, I never wanted anyone to get killed. Also, gay men, I don't think, relationships are different than the straight world, where it's like the insane monogamous, like, thing of, like, you know, some of that's different. So I've never wanted to kill any of them, but had they been killed, like, I never wanted to, I was never like, I'm going to kill them. But if they had been killed, it would have been, you know, again, one of those things where it would have been, like, sad, but interesting. I've always wanted to be in a relationship with somebody over a summer, and then they die in the fall, because the fall funerals are the actually beautiful. And then really, then I could really just like focus on the career, because that's the big touring season, is from October through May. So that's always been kind of my goal, is to just kind of come in at the end.
And you would get material out of it, and people would Absolutely. Expect you to talk about it.
Absolutely. And then, whoa, evidence exists of Rex Heuermann's family's involvement in Gilgo Beach murder. I don't know what that even means.
Now, who is, what attorney? Obviously not their attorney. Their lawyer wouldn't say that. Is he just, he's representing the families. Okay, they want some of that money.
Because they want some of that money.
Yeah.
These people didn't, those lugs didn't do it. They're idiots.
They're idiots.
He wants the money. I get it. Everybody's playing the game now.
So you think that, like, because yeah, obviously they can't sue him. He's dead, or he's in jail. He has what he has. But the family is probably a separate thing. So if they think they were involved, they can get some of that.
They want the money, and they want all of it. What are they saying? This appears to be the remains of a human being that looked half eaten. Found on whose Tumblr blog?
The daughter.
The daughter had a Tumblr blog.
Why would you take a picture of it and put and upload it? That doesn't make sense.
So wait a minute. But what? This appears to be the remains of somebody who's half eaten, but I don't understand. Is that?
And then the photos were deleted.
The photos were deleted. When were they deleted?
She posted them on her Tumblr and deleted them later.
Like before he was arrested?
I guess. I don't know the timeline.
Who the fuck found old Tumblr photos that
but
were
also,
deleted?
But also, here's the thing. Chicks are weird, and she could have just been having that goth phase and just try. I mean, look at her. Look at her. You think that this is not somebody who is. This is not a prize.
No.
This is somebody who's got a lot of problems.
She has a Prince Harry quality, the rosacea, which I find a little irritating.
Now, I don't know if she was, does that mean she was in it with her dad, that she was murdering everyone? Probably not, but maybe.
Well, he only did it when they were away. Like, he would have done it when they were home if they were in on it.
Yeah, I don't think they were in on it. I think she was probably a weird creep. He raised her.
That's right.
He raised her.
So he probably raised a weird family.
He raised a family of creeps. Where are they moving out? Where are they going?
Where can they go?
Oh, they're moving island home. Well, the taxes are too high. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. School taxes after the kids are raised? What's the point?
Yeah.
But they're moving to Austin, like everybody else. They're moving to Austin, Texas.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, that was, anybody else have a piece of advice they would like? That was an amazing take, Tim. And I had never thought of either of those points. And I think you're right about both of them.
I think it's true.
Yes, you're on. Hello.
Hi, Tim and Jim. It's good to hear from you guys. And first of all, Tim, I'm sorry to hear about your lovely home being destroyed by the horrendous fires in L.A.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So yesterday, my fiance and I were taking our dog for a walk. And on our way back, we saw my fiance's boss, and as my fiance's boss went to go pet our dog kind of nipped at her. So that kind of provoked the question of, should we put our dog in like a training school, or should I just show her the movie Sleepers by Barry Levinson and just, you know, hope for the best?
What happened in Sleepers? I don't remember. I know it was very funny.
The hot dog cart, the stairs, the whole thing, right? It's not Sleepers.
Wasn't there a molesting?
Brutally get like molested in like the movie. So okay. I'm not saying that I want my dog to that. I just don't want my dog to have that trauma.
Yeah, so I don't know what the question
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's a very strange question.
I think that you should send the dog maybe to like some type of, obedience thing. What about if you had a cold ice on your dog? Can you call ice on animals that the immigration in customs enforcement? If you called ice and they came and just walk the dog out, just let it know that it could be out of here.
So don't take it. You're saying just show it what consequences could be.
Yeah, put it in a truck with a bunch of Venezuelan gang members for an hour and then just say, this could be it. Clean it up.
And it's funny, Mike talked before about his dog earlier, and it was taken by gang members and they spray painted his dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stole my dog for a week and spray painted their
little. Is that true?
Local gang in Queens, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very, very odd.
So, wow. Yeah. So
but then he gave it back?
It came back a week later. I don't know if they dropped it off or he just escaped.
It was just a local gang in Queens.
They tagged it the public school down the block.
Oh.
That they had a little group that repped the park.
Yeah, so that could have been, to your point, that could actually be a viable solution to put him with gang members.
One of the reasons Trump got elected, people getting their dog spray painted by the local gang. I think that's one of the reasons Kamala didn't win.
People were sick of it.
She didn't have a plan.
No, she didn't. She didn't have a plan. No, you're right. So yes, yeah, sir. We don't know what your question is. You're not asking a very concise question.
No, my bad. Should I just basically front the money for obedience school, or should
yes.
I just be like, no?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes,
yeah.
It's the right thing.
Yeah, and the dog wouldn't understand.
You know what it is? You can get sued. The dog. People yeah. sue the shit out of people. Feehan's dog had a thing.
Really?
Remember that?
No.
Karen, it was a whole thing. But the point is, you can get sued.
People she got sued?
There was something. I don't know if it ever went that far, but people can try. That's my point.
Yeah. So maybe you're right.
I was going to say that as well.
Yeah, because you can't show the movie to your dog if that's what you're thinking point. Of doing. That was a dumb idea. The dog wouldn't understand the film. All right. Well, thank you, sir, very much. Appreciate that.
Cool. Thanks,
hope we
Phil.
Helped him.
I hope so, too.
I think you were right. I mean, gang members, I didn't think to threaten him with ice, but, you know, even if he didn't understand what ice is, he would understand the energy that they would bring in. It was not positive. It was my dog understands when something fucking shitty is happening.
No, absolutely.
All right. Who's on the telephone? You have a question for two people very qualified to answer your questions.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yep, you're on, sir. People sound... shocked that they're on when they call. What's your name?
Sorry, it was a little unclear. How you doing, Jim?
I'm good, buddy. You're here with myself and Tim Dillon.
Had a rough year in 2023. Towards the end of the year, I got involved and made some very awful investments. I have a family of five, three kids, and I had a mental nervous breakdown with losing a large amount of sum of money in addition to excessive drinking. And I did attempt to take my life.
How'd you do it?
Sorry to hear that.
I slit my throat and both of my wrists.
Jesus.
Committed. Yeah, I had three blood transfusions. And this was right before.
Can I ask you a question?
2023.
Was it the Hawk? Was it the Hawk Tua coin?
Was it the Hawk Tua? You said what?
Did you buy the Hawk Tua coin, sir?
No, I didn't.
I didn't know.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
It was options.
Glad he left.
You know, what happened was the summer of 2023, I made about $250,000 in 2 months. And then I got very, very greedy and I lost it all. And then, you know, pretty much my life savings. You know, between that and drinking excessively, you know, I felt, you know, that was the only way out, and I went a little crazy. So 3 days before Christmas, you know, they find me, they save me. I was in a psych ward on this Christmas and New Year's with my kids, but all was good, right? All was good after that.
Sure.
I got treatment on certain meds and whatnot. Me and the wife were good. And then, you know, come March of 2024, I get involved in online gambling.
Oof.
You know, and lost even more and more money. My wife pre-warned me several times.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep doing this, you know, I'm going to leave you. She didn't leave me. We're still together.
Oh, that's good news.
But I made the same mistake about 8 different times is the bottom line over the last 7 months. I did see my wife created a match.com account, which I called her out about. Said, well, I told you, if you don't stop fucking around with what you're doing, you're putting your family at risk, which I get.
Here's the reality, sir. So here's the reality. Forget my interruption, but all the details, the minutiae. You're an addict. And when you're an addict, you're wrecking your life for these dopamine hits, whether it's gambling, whether it's fucking a drink or a drug.
You got to go into rehabilitation and probably a long-term 6-month program where you can get help. I don't think meetings... I think you maybe need more of an intensive reset.
Yeah, kind of a structured place.
Yeah, a structured place would be good. Were you using out of curiosity?
Was I using what? Yeah, I can't. It's kind of choppy on your end, Jim. I'm sorry.
Sorry, that's okay. Well, I just personally think this is good as a place. Clip that and send it to them.
I got you. Yeah, I couldn't hear that word that you said. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Yeah, go to a rehab. You got to go to rehab. The word I said was rehab.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. Sorry.
I've been good for the last 4 months. I haven't gambled. I am selling my house. I have good equity in the house.
Okay.
So I am getting rid of the house, and we're going to downsize and start from scratch.
Yeah.
But my question for you and the advice that I'm looking for is, should I leave the match.com alone? And I saw she was DMing with some guys. Should I be like, listen, she didn't actually do anything and let it be? Or should I kind of hold that against her?
I mean, you cut both your wrists and your throat.
And happy that
I mean, you know, you've opened three veins. I mean, you got to give her some way to kind of blow some steam
What's
off.
What's the style of your home?
Is it a ranch?
Is it a Tudor?
Yeah, no,
is it a Cape Cod?
No, dude, you've gotten your, again, these crazy gambling things. She's just getting a little rush.
Let her have Match.com. Let her have any of them, to be honest. Any of the sites she can have. She should be entitled to any site she wants at this point.
Sure. Let her go on whatever she wants.
Until you prove to her that you are better.
Or ask her to get off it and forgive her. Don't fucking harp on it. Let her have her little, that was her little outlet while you were doing what you were doing. You were gambling and fucking up and putting the family. Let her have her little outlet. Don't punish her when you've already put
That's
the whole
right.
family through everything. You fucked up, so she fucked up a little too. All right?
That's right.
I got you. Thank you, John.
Good luck.
You hang in there, dude.
Hang
honestly,
in there,
you hang in there and don't do that to yourself again.
It's right. I just think he should play responsibly.
Sure. Okay.
That would be my... By the way, just because you've tried to kill yourself three times doesn't mean you still can't win.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not even...
You might... Some people might say you're even closer to winning than you would have been before that.
Yeah, because you've gambled three times and you've technically won each time.
Seems like a lucky guy to me.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I know there's a lot of criminals going. I mean, obviously, I'm not for like wholesale deportation of everybody, but if somebody's done something wrong,
yeah,
then, you know, they probably shouldn't be here.
If you're beating up a police officer.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, should probably be given the boot.
You know, so, but I'm sure there's innocent people it'll go to. But that's why, you know, listen, this was a mess. It was created. It didn't have to be created. They could have just, I don't know why the Democrats didn't go, yeah, we're just going to like shut the border down. He would have had no issue. You let him waltz back in on the issue he won the first time because you didn't do anything. You made it worse.
They really did, right?
The craziest thing in the world. He had one big issue in 2016 and he won on it because people are saying, listen, there are too many people coming in. The country has a lot of problems. It's not helping. And instead of taking that issue away from him and going, okay, you're right, let's calm it down. They have like tens of thousands of migrant caravans coming in and people, and he wins again on the same issue. So,
What do you think if you asked them, what do you think they would have said that their solution would have been? What do you think they would have said?
The Democrats?
Yeah, the people who didn't shut it down.
I just think they don't see it as a problem. So if they don't see it as a problem, I don't think they, I think people like Bill Clinton saw it as a problem. Obama saw it as a problem. And then the identity politics became so strong that they didn't want to seem in any way racist or jingoistic or whatever you want to say, ethnocentric, whatever you want to say, that they just thought it was okay that there were people flooding into the country. And then the black and Hispanic voters, a lot of them, Trump made huge gains with both of them because they saw it as a problem. So it's like white people saw it as a problem.
Sure.
Hispanic people saw it as a problem. So to me, it's like, I think they just didn't see it as an issue.
Now, you've met RFK and Cheryl. I saw a nice picture of you, and I was actually jealous of that photo.
Yeah.
Because the two of them together as a couple is not
They're
easy to
couple.
Get. They are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that she's fed up with his politics, or do you think she doesn't care as much and she's just acting like, hey, I don't like this, because she kind of has to?
No, I think listen, it's a weird, I don't think she thought any of this was going to happen. I don't think she could have foreseen it. And I think she's a good wife and she cares about him as a person. And I don't think she agrees with him all the time. But like, I think, you know, he makes some really good points about a lot of things. And, you know, he really wants to whatever people may think of him, he really does want to change things and help in the way he thinks is going to help. And I think she's, you know, supportive of that.
And food fascism, another good term.
Yeah.
You think it would help. Like if he just literally eliminated
certain
things. I think
you got to, you know, he made a good point today in the hearings. He goes, America's got 11,000 ingredients in their food. Europe's got 400.
Yeah.
There's 11 ingredients in McDonald's French fries. In Europe, there's three. It's salt, potatoes, and an oil. America's got 11 ingredients. Look at any ice cream. There's 15 things you can't pronounce. You know, like all of those things are chemical. They're processed or addictive, you know?
Well, Trump loves McDonald's. That's going to be a tough sell because Trump loves fast food.
Trump loves McDonald's. I mean, it's like anything else, right? They're not going to get rid of McDonald's, but if they just... I think some of it's about awareness. It's like cigarettes right now. You can still buy cigarettes, but a lot of people don't smoke because it's just pounded into their head how bad it is.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have a cigarette when they're drinking or something. It's the same reason people have a quarter pounder when they're drinking. But our parents used to take us for birthday parties at McDonald's when we were eight.
Yeah.
That's not happening as much anymore. You don't see a bunch of kids in a McDonald's or a Burger King with the little King hats on because it's fucking child abuse. People go, oh yeah, that's wrong. I think part of it is just changing that narrative and having people go, oh, yeah, Starbucks Frappuccino is terrible.
I think that the Burger King hat, though, I think that what kind of took that out of fashion was a very amusing video on an airplane.
Well, that's true.
If
that's
you've seen that,
point.
I think he kind of took that out of
that's
style.
A fair point. But, like, to me, it's like, you know, I think it's maybe just stigmatizing it enough so that, and also getting rid of some of it. Getting rid of like the dyes in Fruit Loops.
Remember when Bloomberg wanted to like have all like the sodas tax that people jumped on him for? I didn't mind it.
I think part of the problem is when you have like a guy like perfect.
He's a classic.
When you have a guy like Bloomberg, he's just an unlikable guy.
He's a kind of a nudge.
He's an unlikable guy. And I think with RFK, there's something about him that, you know, I do think is just different enough and weird enough to make people go, yeah, we should change some shit.
And the fact that his father was shot. I mean, when your father and your uncle are both killed.
They were both killed.
It's something people go like, I mean, he's given more to the country in a familiar way than I have.
Let him ban the McFlurry. They killed his family. What do you care? Let him ban it. Let him ban the McFlurry and go, we're done with that for a while. For a year.
Give it to him.
Take it away for a year. Just take it away for a year.
Are you surprised by that? Nancy Pelosi's husband sold a boatload of NVIDIA stock right before it was eviscerated.
They're all criminals.
It's gross, right?
They're criminals. They're criminals. They're full-on criminals.
Yeah.
Her and her husband are full-on criminals.
And the guy who attacked him with the hammer got life. Like they're all so big on reform and letting people out and
All criminals. They created this thing. If you hate Trump, they created him. If you love Trump, they created him. If you're in the middle, it's like that class of people has created the thing we're in right now. They are one, and it doesn't matter Republican, Democrat. There's no difference. They are all corrupt, and that has invited this new reality.
Have you met Trump?
I've never met him, no.
Do you want to meet him? Like, is he a guy you like?
I'd like to meet him, perhaps. I like not being too close. I like to be able to say whatever I want to say on my show without having dinner with people and then having... I like RFK and Cheryl. I say what I feel about them. J.D. Vance came on the show. He's a really well-spoken guy.
Yeah.
I agree with him on a lot of stuff. I think he's a really smart guy, and he's probably the future of that party. And Trump, I think, is one of the funniest and most politically talented people ever. I don't know what he's going to do in the next 4 years. A lot of what he says he's going to do, I think, is good. And I'd like to meet him, sure, because I think he's a fascinating guy.
JD came on. I didn't know J.D. Vance was on your show.
Yeah.
He's a fan because
I don't think he knew that much. I think his people might have been fans. They were fans, and they kind of pointed him in that direction, like, this guy is good. And we had a nice convo. And, you know, again, there's things I would disagree with him on, but, he's a very interesting guy. And he's a smart guy. He's 40 years old. He's my age. And he's the vice president. So that was interesting, too. But a lot of what he said, I thought was normal. That was very normal. I didn't think it was crazy and dogmatic and insane. I thought a lot of it, you know, obviously he's like, you know, there's things I would and do disagree with him on. He's, I think, virulently pro-life. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
But I also don't think you should have this litmus test for where you can't talk to people or...
Right.
Because I found a lot of what he said made a lot of sense.
How do you handle moments like that with a guy? Like, are you overwhelmed by, like, when the vice president comes in, there's all Secret Service. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. No, he was cool. It was, you know, he was running and we did it at a hotel in D.C. and we found out, a day before we were going to do it and we would have had anyone on. We would have had Walsh on or any of them. And I wouldn't have yelled at any of them. I would have, you know, like, I that's not my job. My job's to, like, talk to someone and go, what do you believe?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, my job's not to go, how dare you, you know, this or that. It's like, you come on, it's a podcast, and say what you want. And Tim Walsh would have said the same thing. I would have had a nice convo with him. I wouldn't have been like, what the f-, you know?
Yeah.
And I disagree with him on a lot of stuff, but I would have had a very normal conversation.
Isn't it weird that people get so tempted to make these giant statements and these giant, instead of just talking to the guy?
Well, here's the thing. You don't learn any. You see, like, Jake Tapper and J.D. Vance, and there's just fighting and everything. What people will realize is that in those interviews, you learn nothing and no one wins.
Right.
Because both sides just dig in more to their side. Whereas it's like much better to just go, all right, what do you think is the biggest problem in America? That's a huge question. You know, and like that opens the door and, you know, to somebody that goes, well, I think this is the biggest problem. I think that the problem with J.D. Vance is a really smart guy, really well thought out points, whether you agree with them or not. Walsh was kind of a bumbling. Now there's brilliant Democrats. Walsh wasn't one of them.
Right.
They put him on the ticket because they that's what New York people on the Upper West Side think middle America will like. This bumbling hockey state fair funnel cake eating moron who couldn't articulate any points.
Yeah.
But they should have gotten Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania, who is a shrewd operator and somebody who, you know, was going to be probably more effective and maybe swayed the race by getting them Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Tim Walz was annoying. He was kind of that fucking, that okey dokey kind of
guy that just didn't, you know, he wasn't able to when it was a high pressure, high stakes situation, the debate, just didn't have it.
Do you ever trash people and then bump into them? Have you had that where you've,
no, I've because I've never invited. Yeah, like there's people that I'm sure I'm not invited to, like, you know, Meghan Markle's birthday or something. So, like, there's a few people I've seen. Yes, there's people that I've made fun of that I see. But, like, Gary Vee I make fun of, but he's cool with it because he's a cool guy.
He's okay with it.
But he says some things that are really smart and a lot of things that are insane. So when you say things that are crazy, someone has to make fun of them. It doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He's a good guy. And it doesn't mean he's wrong. I think he's right about certain things. But then sometimes he'll say a crazy thing. And I'll go, well, we got to make fun of that. In the same way that if I say some crazy shit, people make fun of me. It's like, it's just what it is.
Yeah, you don't care if it affects the relationship or any of that stuff.
No, because it's kind of like you just have to do. My friend Bethany has a great charity, and I'm putting up a clip where I make fun of her. And she does a lot of good things for really desperate people. But I make fun of it because I think it's funny that she films them. That's the bit.
The desperate people.
Yeah, she goes, what did you think? Did you like it? And I but I understand why she does it, because it gets more people to give money. But sure. It's still funny.
Yeah.
It's still funny when someone's covered in soot in Pasadena to go at them with the phone and go, how do you feel? Thank you for a gift card. That's funny. But it's part of the reality we live in. You know, the thing, I'm like at an age where it's like, you don't have to be friends with me.
Right.
You don't care. You know what I mean? What are we doing here? Well, what am I, 19 years old? You don't have to be friends. Fine.
Yeah, you're okay with it.
It's okay. It's fine.
You like you, and if they don't like you, that's fine.
Well, even maybe even I'm okay on me, but like I like the things I do. I think the show's funny. I try to be as funny as I can. You can't worry about every fucking thing.
Right.
You just can't. My father and his wife are mad at me because I trashed them because they have a dog named after Maya Angelou. What am I supposed to do, you dumb liberal? That's not the way you become a better person. You can't name a dog after a black woman poet. So they're mad at me. So what do you want me to do? I can't. I'm not going to talk about that. You named a dog after a legendary black woman poet.
Is it Maya or Maya Angelou the dog?
No, Maya, but named after Maya Angelou. You can't do that. That's not right.
Do they tell people that? Because Maya is a name that could be anything. Do they tell people, this is because of Maya Angelou?
Well, they told me, and that was enough.
Yeah.
And you don't want to know what the other two dogs are? Freddie.
Malcolm and Martin.
Freddie after Frederick Douglass.
Oh, of course.
Escape slaves.
Sure.
And the other dog is, so Maya, Freddie, and Ruth after Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Those are their three dogs. Guys, wow. I'm sorry you're not, and they're not speaking to me right now, and that's okay. It's fine. I can't not say it. You maybe they'll never speak to me again for the rest of my life. I cannot. I tried. I went into my studio and I tried. I said, I'm going to try to not talk about it. I couldn't do it.
Do you think you've embarrassed
them? Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the name of the dog. What am I supposed to do?
It's annoying.
You named the dog after a slave and it's running around Thanksgiving. I'm supposed to not say anything about it? I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
I know. Oh, and it's like you try, you're like, I know I shouldn't, and I know there's going to be a penalty for this. But
they're unhappy. They're unhappy with me. They probably hate me.
Did your father call you?
No, they're mad at me. Well, that's okay. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It's crazy. You did a crazy thing, and I'm sorry.
Would the movement would not have tell you where the names came from?
I guess, but they're proud of it. They think they're doing a good thing. They think that's how you be a good person.
Name the dog after somebody.
Yes, but that's not it.
Didn't you also write a book about them or based on them?
Well, that is coming soon as well. But it's for entertainment purposes only and purely coincidental.
Sure. There's no real truth in it. It's just made up
stuff.
There's
no real truth in it. I'm looking forward to their new cat, George Floyd. You know what I mean? Like, it's. I'm just saying it's worth making fun of.
Wait, the book we just saw, Death by Boomers.
Yeah, it'll come out. And we pushed it back a bunch. I did a bunch of other shit. I fell behind on it, and many people are angry.
But this is your first book?
Yes, it's coming out hopefully spring, summer.
That's great.
Yeah, we hope, and we're praying.
You're very, very, you're happy with it, though?
It will be, I think it's going to be good. I don't know, because it's one of those things where it's hard to know.
How are they going to take it?
Well, they're not talking to me now.
You don't think this is going to help?
It may be. It might help. It's not mean-spirited. This isn't mean-spirited. Sure. If you name a dog after a poet, you can't do that. It's not right. And it's funny. It's not flattering to look, is it?
No, they kind of look disgusting in the book cover. And you did a moment ago call them liberal. So that's probably... that's not going to help things.
You know... But it's going to be very, there's something funny about that book cover. The guy that does the Mad TV books.
Yeah, it's really great, but the sock is ripped. The guy looks like a bumbling fucking idiot, honestly.
They're not going to love it.
No.
But it's funny.
Why is he spilling his drink? He just looks like a slob.
Well, he's drunk, and then there's books. It's all about me, and then I'm sitting in the back with a bong, and she's smoking a butt. I got to be honest, I fucking love the cover.
It's a great cover.
I love that cover.
Unless you're
so
one
much.
Of those two people in real life.
Well, you know, I mean, who's on the cover of a book? Not many people. Not many people.
So is that how you're going to spin it? You're going to tell them, look, at least you're on the cover of a book.
I think they'll enjoy it. I mean, if they are talking to me by then, which who knows if they are or not. I don't even care. I would like to talk to them. I'm sorry that you're angry. Your dog is named after a slave.
You're okay with them being a little pissed off.
I can't not talk about it. I'm sorry.
Well, how did they tell you that it was named after a slave?
Could I've known it.
Oh, you just knew it.
Okay. I've known it, and it came out. It's just what it is. I felt bad, but it just came out. It's funny.
Was it a slow news day? That happens on slow news days.
It was a slow news day, and it was just, it came out, and it was really funny, and it's just it's a glimpse into the, I believe, mental illness. I believe political fundamentalism.
People trying to look like they're doing something.
I believe people in Saudi Arabia who are watching a beheading that's the same type of ideology that motivates you to name your dog after Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
And I think it has to be called out when you see it.
You think this is kind of like a lesser thing? Beheading is obviously if you've stolen something, but...
Yeah. Well, this is just odd. It's an odd thing and it's a funny thing, but it's also crazy.
Are you against beheading?
Well, it depends.
I have mixed feelings on it.
It really depends.
I have mixed feelings.
It actually really depends.
I've seen beheading videos, very bad, but I've also at times, they do handle things.
I think you need law and order. I don't know that you need a beheading for everything, but I do think, I like public events.
Sure.
I like public events. I like community. I like public events. I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it's probably better way to gather people than Harry Potter the musical.
You think
a nice beheading?
A beheading would draw a better crowd.
Yeah, a thief. That's my guess.
Would you watch one?
Yes.
In person or on video or both?
I'd show up in person probably.
Just to see it.
Well, it's done in the whole square. I think it's a social thing, actually.
Chop, chop, square, right?
It's a social thing. Yeah, it's one hand. Yeah, it's one hand.
Do they take the dominant or the submissive hand?
I don't know.
It's a good question. I'd like to know the answer to that.
But I think they actually stopped to be handings.
Did they really?
They're opening like nice restaurants now.
Oh, they want people to come as tourists, and they figure that's a bad look.
They're trying to go that route.
Yeah. Well, the guy, MBS, is not exactly a pleasant guy.
Yeah, I know nothing of him. I mean, obviously, I've read about him, but he's serious about a lot of stuff over there.
Would you go to Saudi Arabia and do shows if they invited you to come over?
Well, I don't know. I think there'd be a discussion because of the gay thing. But then I think one of them would go, but he's also said things that are very anti-Semitic. And they go, well, we do like that. So I think there'd be a real debate. I think there'd be an interesting debate because I think there would be the gay thing. They'd bring up the Wikipedia, but then one of them would go, but he also said he also asked Hamas to put his stepmother in the tunnel, but make it, but make it bigger first. I think there's a certain, it's a mixed bag, I guess.
It's a pick your poison. It's like he's gay, yeah, but he did
right.
say this.
He did say that.
Which is fantastic. That's a fantastic yeah. thing to say. Yeah. Are you Jewish or just your stepmother?
No, neither one of us. But that doesn't mean she can't go in a tunnel.
Oh, but you're right. You just didn't like her.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's love her. We're kidding. We're all kidding.
It's all jokes, of course.
Hey, what's going on? Can you guys hear me?
Hi, fella.
Hey, what's going on? By the way, I just wanted to say I love Tim's podcast. I was a big Opie and Anthony fan back in the day.
Thank you.
But I actually have an interesting question I think you'd like advice for.
Sure.
So about a year ago, my ex-girlfriend of 3 years and I broke up. I'm in my early 30s. I had a stepkid, everything. And so I really had to reevaluate my life. And so I decided that I was going to go back to college in my 30s. And so when I first came to school, I realized like real quickly that I really wasn't able to like go to study groups because everybody was real young. I mean, I wasn't super open about my age, but so for like the last year and a half, I've kind of not told anybody that I'm a lot older than them. Okay. And I've just been doing what college students do. In my 30s, I've pledged a frat. None of my fraternity brothers know that I'm in my 30s.
Sounds like a movie script.
This is like when that Russian, that's like when this Russian, remember when that girl said she was a child, but it was just a midget?
Natalia
remember
Grace.
That midget?
They said she was a kid. I think they found out she actually was a child. Natalia Grace, you're talking about, yeah. The Strange Case of Natalia Grace. I think they were saying she actually was a child. Like they looked at certain old reports and they go, no, I've heard she's that she actually was a child, and they thought she was an adult because she acted adultish.
So what is your question? Do you come clean or do you just keep doing what you're doing?
Yeah. So here's my question. For like the past year and a half, I've been doing what college students do. I've been hooking up with girls that are about 10 years, you know, younger than me at least. And that's been fine because I really haven't tried to date any of them. But recently there's a girl that I've started seeing. We've been on two or three dates. Everything's going really well. I mean, she really is like, you know, solid.
She's the bee's knees.
But my question is, like, when do I come clean to her? Because I feel like if I fuck her and then I like let her know that I am like an older guy, she's gonna think I'm a creep. And if I don't, you know, I don't know how to approach this because she thinks that. I mean, she thinks I'm 22, 23.
Wait, let me ask you, have you lied or is this a lie of omission?
It's a lie of omission. So that's the thing. I've gone out of my way since day one to make sure that I have gone, never lied directly to anybody.
Right.
Maybe unpopular
opinion. It's always a lie of omission.
Maybe this is an unpopular opinion. I don't think it's a huge deal.
I don't either.
I don't think people are going to. I think it's kind of a funny, wacky, like, oh, this guy's fucking old. Like, I think they'll give you a nickname. Like, I don't know. Do you feel like if these people are 20 or what age are your friends in your frat?
No. Well, so all of them. Yes. Oh, they're all in their like 21, 22 years old.
Right. Like, and how old are you?
Yeah.
And how old are you?
I'm in, I'll say early 30s, but closer to mid 30s.
No, but like, actually, your real age.
Yeah, you can
like,
tell actually, us, sir. We're not going to tell.
Okay. I like, okay, so let's take 33 because,
Okay. Is 33 the actual age? Yeah, do you know your age?
Yeah, what exactly is 30, the age?
30? No. I just like, because I just don't want anybody listening to this to kind of like suss it out. But yeah,
I'm 33. Probably not going to happen. But, you know, I don't think there's, do you have a lot of 18 year olds listening to the show?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't.
I think that, I don't think it's 33 to 23. I mean, is that a huge, like,
not a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think anyone cares. And I think it's, you should just tell people.
Here's what you do. After you have sex, you roll over and you go, oh my God, I haven't had sex like that in 15 years.
Right.
Tell her casually. You go, she'll go, what? And you go, when I was 18, 15 years ago.
Right, it's a good idea.
God, you fucked me like I was 18 again. She go, you're 33. Go, yeah, I thought you knew. I told you that one time I referenced something. Just make up something that you referenced and don't give up on it.
You know, no, but the new thing, like in colleges now, is they talk about like this differential in like power dynamics.
Oh,
so you like literally like younger women are disgusted by older guys that want to fuck like young girls that are like 18, 19 years old.
No, they're not. No, they're not. They pretend they are. It's
this
bullshit.
Is all a lie. It's bullshit. Listen, at the end of the day, it's like I think you'll be fine. I think you're making it more of a thing than it is. Or just keep lying. That's the other thing.
Yes.
Then just keep lying. Who cares?
Keep it going.
Who cares? And just keep it going. Who gives a shit? Then just keep lying. It's like, if it is a big deal and we don't know, we're not on a college camp. I don't really know how big of a deal it is. I know in the real world, it's not a big deal.
No.
At least not where I live, right? It was like Beverly Hills. You see a guy who's 95 with a 30-year-old and it's just, they connect. I think that you just have to keep lying.
And I would, also, don't let her buy you airline tickets. Don't let her handle your ID. Anything where she's going to get to see your date of birth.
Just tell her one day at dinner, go, hypothetically, if I was 33, would that turn you off? And she goes, yeah. Then go, oh, cool.
I'm lucky I'm not.
Yeah, thank God I'm not. I'm just hypothetically.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. I would say have sex, roll over,
make
an offhand
much,
remark, and act like she should have known already because you indicated it earlier. I mean, you got to win this somehow. Tim, your brain is so much fucking
Well, that's really nice
fun.
Of you to have me on. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys.
You're just a brilliant thinker.
You're the best.
And
you're the best.
Laugh.
I love all of you guys. Thank you.
We'd like to come with a catchphrase. We'd like to close with a catchphrase. We've been unable to find one. Are you good with catchphrases?
Not really.
I'm not either.
Not really.
But if you had to come up with one.
I like the one that Trump said about Ghislaine Maxwell. I wish her well. That's always my favorite one. Because that's what rich people say. I say it a lot on my show. That's what rich people say to just get out of the conversation. Like someone like one rich person does something heinous and then they ask another rich person and they go, what do you think about that? They go, I wish her well. So I've always liked that. I always think it's very non-committal, kind of just breezy. Like,
sure.
I wish her well.
Pleasant, but not overly.
Which is a funny thing because she had gone to jail for human trafficking and they asked him and he goes, I wish her well. What an odd, like, it's just a crazy thing. But that's the way rich people talk. They go, I wish her well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
You don't think that was a guilty conscience? It was just one of those things where it was just
I think it's just basically just, it's one of those things where it's not quite a guilty conscience, but it is this idea that, like, what's to be gained from getting in the weeds here?
Right.
Right.
There you go.
That's the way rich people feel like they're, and I talk about them on my show a lot, and I observe them, and they go, they really just go, you know what? I don't need people digging up my backyard.
Yeah.
I wish them well.
We wish you well.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over. It's time to go. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.